Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
4 basic units, the church, the family, the social system, and the government. If we care for these units properly, we shall have an orderly life in every way. When Paul was writing the book of Titus, he had within him a concern for these 4 units. Stay with us today as we talk about these 4 basic units, especially keeping a good relationship with the government and God's supply for us to do it. This is Matt Miller with Bob Danker for the Life Study of Titus, program number 5. Thanks for coming in to help me out with this one, Bob.
It's a pleasure, Matt.
Bob, these 4 basic units, the church, the family, the social system, and the government, were in the apostles' heart about 2,000 years ago when the New Testament was written, but this word is still current today. Could you please review these 4 and put them in the context of Titus?
Well, Matt, the thing that we need to see, and in a kind of a primary way, is that God has an eternal purpose, and his purpose is to save men, to bring his salvation to all the human beings that he had chose in eternity past, and then to build up these saved ones to be the church as the body of Christ, so that he can fulfill the heart desire that he had before he created the universe. So God is moving to accomplish his eternal purpose. And everything God does is related to men, to mankind. So what God is doing is related to these 4 basic units of humanity. The first unit that God is concerned with is the church, because the church is the goal of God. To have the church as the body of Christ built up among the human race is a great thing in God's consideration. So the focus of the Bible and the writings of Paul, especially this book to Titus, was the matter of the church, how to maintain a good and proper order in the church. This is the primary thing.
That's the subject of the book of Titus, the maintenance of the order in the church.
Exactly. But because the church is composed of saved human beings who live in families,
right?
And they also live in society.
Most of them have jobs.
Most have jobs, and they interact with human society at large.
Right.
And finally, they are also under the government that happens to be ruling at that time where they are living on this earth. So the believers whom God is using to fulfill his eternal purpose are related to these 4 units. The church, which is the relationship between the believers, and the family, and the human society, and the human government. All these are critical units that are related to the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. If we are wrong in our relationship with any of these 4, God's purpose will be hindered.
Well, I think if the listeners will stay with us, Bob, for the next half hour or so, I think every listener at some point is in one of those 4 units, or hopefully all 4 units. Everyone's dealing with the government, the family, that every human being is in a situation. So as you're listening right now and you're in whatever situation you're in, you'll find this program will have a special word for you. So stay with us. Let's go to Witness Lee now as he discusses these 4 points that were in the Apostle Paul's heart with a special emphasis on the matter of the church.
Paul, when he was writing this book, his concentration in this writing was very much for the church. So the first chapter just takes care of a proper order in the church by setting up the eldership as the administration of a local church and by terminating the different isms just to hold on to the healthy teaching of the apostles. Then, after the consideration for the church, he had another consideration for the human life, which is mainly related to the family life. And following the family, the consideration Paul had was for the society. So he gave us a word concerning the social system. Then how about another thing in human race, that is the government? He also had a consideration for the government. If we could take good care of these four units, the church, the family, the society, and the government, we'll be okay. We must see what was there in the Apostle Paul when he was writing. With all the philosophers, the great teachers, the thoughtful people, all the time, through all the centuries, only three units are very much considered for the humankind: family, society, and the government. But with us, we have the top unit. And what is our top unit? Hallelujah, the church.
Amen.
The church is the first. We always have to give the church the preeminence in our consideration, because the church is the house of the living God, the pillar and the base of the truth, and the great mystery of Godhead, that is God manifested in the flesh.
Bob, I think there's probably some listening right now that would not agree with putting the church in the preeminent position of these four units. But when you put it in the light of God's house, the church is the house of the living God, it puts it in a different light, doesn't it?
It certainly does, Matt. As you said, usually people's thinking does not give preeminence to the church, because in the minds of many people, the church is some kind of a human institution, even a kind of organization. And although the church may be important to many people, it certainly does not have the highest priority. But of course, in God's economy, in God's eternal plan, the church is God's goal. It has the highest priority because it has the highest function and the highest status. It functions as the house of the living God. That means the church is the place where the living God dwells. What could be more prominent than this in the whole universe? It's God's house. And also, it's the pillar and base of the truth. That means that the church supports and upholds the truth in this universe. And of course, if we read the scriptures, we will see the truth really is God himself. So the church functions as the pillar that upholds the very reality in the whole universe. And finally, as Brother Lee mentioned, the church is the mystery of godliness. It's God manifested in the flesh. Now, these three aspects of the church are not related at all to human organization. They are related to what the church is intrinsically in God's eternal plan. The church is the top unit in the whole universe. And so if we see the position of the church, the function of the church, especially related to God's eternal purpose, we will realize we need to be right in the matter of the church. This is the top and the highest priority for our Christian living. We need to have a right relationship in the matter of the church. Nothing is more important than this, because actually, all these four units, they are intertwined. They affect one another. If we are wrong with regard to the church, we may be wrong with regard to our family or to society or even to the government. But we need to give the church the position of preeminence in our consideration.
And if we take care of the church, we're really taking care of God.
We are.
So to take care of our own things and forget about God is part of the reason there's holes in our pockets. Those are the phrases that Haggai used. I better not get too far off in that, but I did want to stress to take care of the church is really to take care of God.
Amen.
Well, let's go on to Witness Lee as he covers the other three units here, and we'll come right back for some more fellowship.
After the church, the most important unit we have to take care of is our family. With us, we fully realize without a proper family life, it is hard for us to have an orderly church life. Vice versa. If we don't have a proper church life, it is so difficult for you and me to have a proper family life.
Amen.
Then we also take care of the society. We respect the people. We honor our neighbors. We honor the existing social system. We are not social reformers. What we are? We are the teachers of the healthy teaching. Concerning the all-inclusive Christ and the church as the body of Christ, we are such a people. Now, last unit, the government.
Amen.
We respect our government. This is the basic healthy teaching in the New Testament. You have to realize for Paul to teach this, it may be hard. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was no doubt a top patriotic Jew. And he was endeavoring to do something to get rid of the yoke of the imperialistic Roman Empire. But here, he instructs the saints to subject themselves to the rulers. Even in his epistle to the Romans, in chapter 13, he even told us that all the officials are God appointed. He recognized even those officials appointed by Caesar were God's deputy authority. I tell you, if he was not transformed from being natural into a spiritual being with a spiritual understanding, it might be hard for him to give out such instruction. He charged the saints to keep a good relationship with the government.
Bob, I'm going to read those verses from Romans 13, at least the first two verses, then let you comment on what Witness Lee just said. Let every person be subject to the authorities over him, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are ordained by God. So then he who resists the authority opposes God's ordination, and those who oppose will receive judgment to themselves. How about that, Bob?
This is a tremendous word from Paul. As Brother Lee pointed out, Paul was a Jew, and at that time the Jews were living under the imperialistic rule of the Roman Empire. Surely every real Jew had a strong desire to get out from underneath that yoke that the Roman Empire placed upon them. And yet here Paul did not say anything about overthrowing the Roman Empire, which at that time, as far as the Christians were concerned, was not a righteous government. There were certainly many unrighteous elements in the Roman government. Yet Paul, as a transformed person, a person who had been transformed by God to have a spiritual understanding, a renewed mind with a spiritual understanding, he realized that in order for God to carry out his purpose to build up the church, the human government is needed. So all the authorities in the human government, Paul realized they are appointed by God. They are God's deputies. So if we rebel against the human government, we rebel against God himself and his divine appointment. We actually rebel against the divine government, because the human government serves God in the carrying out of his purpose. And of course, we see this in the Old Testament, especially in Daniel chapter 4, which is a chapter on Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Even the Babylonian government, which had carried Israel away from the good land into captivity, that chapter strongly shows us that the heavens rule. God rules over all the human government on this earth, raising up those who are the governmental leaders at a certain time and then removing them and replacing them. It is God himself who appoints the leaders of the government. We may not respect them according to our evaluation, but we have to realize that God appointed them to keep order and security in human society so that his purpose can go on, go forward in an environment of peace. So if we have an environment of turmoil, of insurrection, rebellion against the government, very hard for the gospel to be preached, very hard for the church to be built up. So God's main concern is for the church, for the building up of the church, and he even uses the human government in the accomplishing of this purpose.
Thanks, Bob. I think that's a very clear word, and I'm going to stop here and go on, because actually I think our last section with Witness Lee is probably the best, because it's talking about the supply, the way that we can do this. You know, all these requirements, a proper family life, a proper submission to the government, having the proper attitude in a social system without being a social reformer, being proper in the church life, maintaining the order in the church. It sounds good, but the only way you can do this is with a supply. Here's Witness Lee.
Have you noticed? For every consideration of each unit, Paul renders us different supplies. What are the supplies to you by which you can take care of the church life? What are the supplies? Surely it must be the faith, the foreknowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, and especially the hope of the eternal life. Isn't the eternal life the supply to you and me? Amen. For the church life?
Amen.
Then, what are the supplies for us to have a family life? Healthy work, healthy teaching, even healthy speech. Speech means the ordinary talk, the daily talk. Your talk at the dining table is a speech. You just have a daily speech. Healthy speech. This will supply you to have a proper family life. Then what is the supply Paul gives us for the social life? The grace that has saved us and that is now training us to live sober, righteous, and godly life by awaiting the glory. Then now, what is the supply by which we can have a good relationship with the government? Two rates: kindness, love, and mercy. You have to realize love is the source of grace. When this matter was in the heart of God the Father, it was love. When it came out of the heart of Father and expressed through the Son, it became grace. So you have 2 Corinthians 13:14 that says, the grace of Christ and the love of the Father. When you are in a proper situation, God's love comes to you as grace. But we all have to say, we all were and still are in a pitiful situation. So something of God's attributes goes further than his grace. This is mercy. Mercy goes farther. Then how about kindness? Kindness, dear saints, is the attitude of giving the grace. It is by this our God saved us. not only by these, but also through something, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
My goodness, Bob, we've got a summary here of the whole book of Titus with the supply to meet every unit. The supply to meet the church, God supplied the hope of eternal life, faith, the full knowledge of the truth. To take care of the family life, he encouraged us and supplied us with the healthy words, the healthy speech that will supply us in our family life. For the social life, the grace of God appeared, training us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We would live soberly, righteously, and godly, awaiting the Lord's coming. So In the last one, in the government, we have these verses in chapter 3 that supply us God's kindness, love, and mercy. How are we going to cover all this in just the last few minutes that we have?
Well, it is really wonderful. I agree with you, Matt. This is a rich supply for us to take care of all these different units that we have to deal with as believers in the Lord. We have the supply for us to care for the church, for us to care for the family life, for us to take care of our relationship with society, and now with the human government. It's very interesting to read these verses in Titus chapter 3. In the first verse, Paul exhorts Titus to remind the believers to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work, to slander no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. Then, in the succeeding verses, he reminds them of what kind of persons they were before they were saved. They were like everybody else. Actually, we are no better than anyone else. We may look at those who are in the lead in the government and say they are of low moral character and so forth, but we have to be reminded of what we once were and how we were saved by the Lord from our pitiful situation of our past. And what saved us? Was it something out of us? Was it our own works in righteousness? Absolutely not. It was absolutely God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, which came to us in kindness, in God's kindness, which is the attitude that God had when he gave us his grace. These are marvelous, marvelous elements of the divine supply. And all these riches have now been dispensed into our being so that we can love others, we can show mercy to others, we can minister grace to others, and we can have an attitude of kindness in doing things for the benefit of others.
What a precious message. Bob, thank you very much for being with us. It's been a pleasure having you with me. Well, thank you for listening today. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.